It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I'm probably not supposed to talk about some of this stuff, but I'm looking right now at my page on my screen. So, hey, Jared, is there any way that I can take that live chat and stick that on the other side of the screen? Is there a way that I'm able to do that? Sorry, folks, that we're not a polished professional here, especially when it comes to technology. I'm trying to keep the chat up on my screen so I can see what's going on with my chat, with all of you out there and the things that you're saying. I like to see the faces of everybody that's in the queue, so we can get you involved in here. Maybe the best thing for me to do is to take that live chat and put it over on my other computer. That'd probably be the answer to that. Hey, good morning. Good Monday morning. And today is an infamous, you know, Franklin D. Roosevelt said today is a day that will live in infamy. And speaking about December 7th, 1941. But this is just as a day today. June 28th is also a day that will live in infamy, in my honest, most humble, not so humble opinion. Does anybody know why today is an infamous day? I'm asking our crew out there. Hey, we're using the big chat again this morning. We can get up to 30 people in here. So we'd love for you to jump in here and become part of what's going on. So we're going to hang with this chat. I'm sorry, with this larger queue for a while. We lost our chat when we did that. So our chat now can be found at, I think, is that found at CoachDaveLive.com? Is that where they find that, Sarge or Jared or whoever? CoachDaveLive.com. If you want to jump in the chat, you can go to CoachDaveLive.com and keep up with the chat. Well, today is the day that will live in infamy because this was when Stonewall got started. You guys know what Stonewall is? You know, wasn't it the bar called Stonewall? I'm checking that right now. The Stonewall Riots, they called it. Didn't it happen? I'm sure it did. It happened on June 28, 1969, the Stonewall Riot. And it was when the radical homosexual movement really got going. 1969, I'm looking at that on my computer right now. June 28, 1969, this was a day that will live in infamy. And by the way, that was pretty much a staged event. Everything's fake news anymore. That was a fake news. You know, somebody said something to me this weekend. I spent two nights here in Bill Fetter, JR and Kevin and some of you out there. My goodness. You made a presentation, a three-hour presentation the other night on how we the people are the king. We're the king. And how we've relinquished our authority. Pulpits have relinquished their authority. It's really, really good. It was really good. And then he was doing a presentation last night on miracles and how it's by the providence of Almighty God that America even came into foundation. Powerful, powerful thing. And so I was doing a lot of pondering as I was listening to Bill speak. A couple of things really popped out at me. Number one, man, oh man, there weren't very many young people in the room. It's a good crowd, a couple hundred probably. Most of them gray hairs. I look bald. I got gray hair. Most of them were gray hairs. And as I said during the last election, that's one of the strategies of the left is that just wait about three more elections and a lot of us are going to die off. Three more elections, I'll be 77 in three more elections. Man, oh man. So we're dying. I'm at the bottom, almost the bottom of the baby boomers. I was born in 1952. My sister was born in 46, I think she was born in 46. She's at the upper edge, Larry, even with those guys. And so we're dying off. And the history that Bill Federer gave us was absolutely unbelievable. And I noticed that there aren't very many young people in the room. And we've not done a good job of Psalm 78, of passing it on to our children. We just haven't done a good job of it. In fact, the form of Christianity that we're practicing in America is a watered down, diluted one at best. When I got up this morning, I said, you know what? I'm in kind of a joyful mood, playful mood. I'm always so doom and gloom. At least that's what people tell me. I'm doom and gloom. I don't think I am. I think I'm realistic, and realism often is doom and gloom. And guys, I got to tell you something, man. You know what? I remember I've always warned you, or tried to help you to see that when the pigs squirt start to squeal, you know you are over the target. You know, if you pick up a stone and you throw it into a pile of dogs, the one that starts squealing is the one that it hit. Okay? So I want everyone to know right up front, both my friends and my foes, to know this. I'm just getting started. All right? I'm just getting started. If you think through emails and Facebook posts and vulgar stuff, if you think that's going to intimidate me to shut up, baby, I want you to know you are absolutely pouring fire, gasoline on the fire. Okay?
Amen.
See, folks, listen. There's a process out there. We're slow to this game. Thanks, Serge. We're slow to this end game to understand this, that there's such a thing called jamming. J-A-M-M-I-N-G. Jared, see if you can Google that real quick. That's a modern lexicon. So I don't know if you would find that in some special dictionary somewhere. Jamming. This is one of the techniques of the left. And once you see this, then you will understand exactly what we're up against. Jared's Googling it right now. I don't know if it's going to come up exactly what I'm looking for. This is a modern day term. There it is. Cultural jamming. Can you make that a little bigger, Jared, so everybody can follow along and see this? Guys, we got to get this. We got to get once I realized what was going on. Oh, I said, now I get it. Cultural jamming, this is called. You listening, Raj? Cultural jamming is a noun. It's a form of political and social activism, which, by means of fake adverts, hoax news stories, pastiches of company logos and product logos, computer hacking, etc., draws attention to and at the same time subverts the power of the media, government, and large corporations to control and distort the information that they give to the public in order to promote consumerism, militarism, etc. Let me explain jamming as I understand it, okay? Jamming is this, and it happens all the time. Rob Pugh even mentioned this the other day at ChristianNews.com, which I'm wearing his shirt today, by the way, Christian News. Jamming is this. When I go on Friday, as I did, and I speak about hate. We need to embrace the hate. I hit some pigs. They started squealing. And what they do, jamming is all of a sudden they get a bunch of them that go on your Facebook page and they make comments. They go onto YouTube and they make comments. When we were down last two Saturdays ago down at the Homo Parade, every time we tried to speak, they were blowing horns in our face and pounding on drums and doing everything they could to stop the word from going forth. That's called jamming, okay? Now, if you'll notice, this happens a lot on TV programs, on news programs. Fox, they try to have that fair and balanced going on, and you always know when the God-hater starts to lose because they start talking and they won't shut up. The entire purpose of jamming is, imagine this, I got Lindell's hat here again, right? To jam is they're going to try to stuff this thing in front of you. They're going to do everything they can so you can't be heard and people can't see. It's called jamming. It's a social, cultural attack system. Man, did I get jammed this week. Sorry, I got my microphone turned off there. You know who jammed me? All of these God haters who want to tell me what the Bible says I ought to do. Do you understand this? And see, you have to have a thick skin, because if you are after the applause of man or the approval of man, we know this. Saul Alinsky's, one of his greatest tactics and weapons was ridicule, because ridicule will shut down the average person. We don't like to be ridiculed. We hate it. And so part of the jamming technique is, all of these God-hating homos. They get on my Facebook page. They get on my YouTube page. They get in my email, and they begin to jam me with accusations of me being a fake Christian, and I shouldn't be able to ever be around children, and on. It's like a script. Bang, 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 bang. It just, my email blows up with them. Hey, you don't bother me, boys. You hear what I'm saying out there? Hey, those of you who choose to have sex, men who choose to have sex with men, don't tell me what the Bible says, okay? Please don't do that, because you're just egging me on. And I am not going to back down. And the only way, guys, the only way we're going to win is we have got to stand up, and we've got to push back against this stuff. And I know that when I began to talk last week, well, let's just do a little testimony time here. You like my new mic? Let's do a little testimony time here. Was anybody listening to this show, anybody here in the queue, were your eyes opened at all last week when we talked about God hating, where I said to embrace the hate? I just like, was anybody's eyes opened out there? I'd love to hear from somebody, a testimony out there. Anybody at all? Jeff, you want to jump in here? I see you. Guys, when I look at the screen, I see whose mic is open, and that's who. Vince, yeah, I see your mic's open, Vince. What did you think about that?
Hey, bud, I just joined you, so I missed it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, Vince. Just last week when we were talking about God hates, and I said we should embrace the hate. Point I'm making, Vince, yeah. Is boy, the homos and the God haters, they all came after me. Oh, you're not a Christian. Jesus said to love your enemies. And see, these are people who they don't even serve the Lord, and they want to tell me how to serve the Lord. Now, I'm asking you, did anybody out there, were your eyes open at all to the fact that hate's a good thing? Hate is a good thing if it's done righteously. And of course, think that we're not allowed to use hate. What do you think, Vince?
Of course, hate's a real emotion. There are things that people have to hate. I mean, we have to hate pedophilia. We have to hate pederasty. We have to hate usury. We have to hate all kinds of stuff.
We gotta hate it, brother. If we don't hate it, we're not gonna be motivated, right?
You got it.
See, they want hate crimes. I talked about this the other day. They want hate crimes put in place when really it's a love crime. When I go to the homo parade, or like right now when I'm talking to those homos out there, it's a love crime. I'm trying to warn you, man. Huh? You think I hate you? I don't even know you. And I'm going to tell you this. I wouldn't write to you what you write to me. I don't even know you. And the people who are the most judgmental are the ones who tell us we're not supposed to be judgmental. If you could read my email, listen, don't tell me, you don't have to send me an email and say, hang in there. I'm cool, man. It's like resistance. It's like lifting weights. It just turns me on. But see, here's what I want you guys to understand. Here's why I'm saying it. Why don't we jam? Why don't we jam? Jesus said to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Why don't we see the techniques of the world and how they work and how effective they are? And why don't we adopt some of those techniques? Now, guys, I don't know who you are, or where you're coming from. Violence is not being done by the right wing. It didn't be done. Violence is not being perpetrated by Christians. Hey, I'm right. I'm a violent man. If I'm on defense, I'm a violent man. And you know what's happened? Words have now become weapons. And the other side gets to use their weapons, and we don't get to use the same thing. We don't get to use words. And so we mistake love and hate. How could hatred be perfect? That's what the Bible says. To love with to hate with a perfect hatred. Should we embrace that? What do you think, Larry? You always got a good perspective on things. Not joining me today. Larry's off camping someplace. Love with hate with a perfect hatred. Anyway, I'm not going to get bogged down on that. So I'm pumped up today, man.
Coach.
I'm excited. Yes. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, back at when we were in front of the Target, the when they came at us after that lady took that picture later on, he started to use the jamming tactics. So I countered when he began being bigoted. Well, I told around and told him that you're a bigot of my bigotry, and it shut him right up. And I turn around and says, you're a phobic, you're a misogynistic, you're a prejudice. And I think I didn't say you're racist, but I played exactly what they do. They're trying to make you feel helpless, make you
so defenseless. That's right. Embarrass you, ridicule you.
Hey, Coach Chad.
Yeah, Chad.
See, what it is I was talking to Glenn about this the other day. See, we allow them to control the narrative, and we get drawn in, and we can't do that. So if they're talking about over here, and we need to go, no, we need to stay over there. They just draw us in on their game, and it's a trap.
That's right. That's right. When they tell us, when they try to talk to us about how Jesus accepts everybody and Jesus loves everybody and we're not to be judgmental and all that stuff, we just got to bring them back to the scripture. Say, really? If Jesus created you a homosexual, why would he call that an abomination? Why would he create you in a way that you would be condemned to hell? What kind of God would that be, right? See, guys, listen. This is so important. So don't back down. That's the point today. Up the ante. Don't back down. Hear me. Your greatest critics are going to be the sissy Christian folk. That's going to be your greatest critics. Those sissy Christians. The love everybody gospel. They don't understand we're at war. They don't understand it. I understand that we are. Okay? So God bless. Hey, I got my chat up over here, so I'm going to peek over here, everyone. So anybody else want to jump in here before I get rolling?
Coach.
Yeah.
I believe that hate is conquered by faith, because the more they hate you, you should be stronger in your faith of what you believe and what you hold on to, because hate is not – they make hate the opposite of love. You can do all the comparisons you want, but hate is conquered by faith. When you have faith, you walk through the hatred. You walk through it, and you tell them the truth, because faith and truth go together. And so I just see that it's different than trying to say, well, I love, and you call me a hater. Don't worry about that love-hate thing. Worry about preaching your
Michael,
faith.
Michael, absolutely. Quit defending yourself.
Amen.
You do not have to defend yourself to them. Amen. They want to put you on the defensive. That makes you back down. Don't fall for it.
We don't have to overcome their hate. We don't have to try to keep them from hating us. In fact, if you do, you're trying to make a liar out of Jesus, because Jesus clearly said that we would be hated.
Yes, Amen. Sir.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, love conquers hate. I agree with that. God so loved the world. God so hated sin. He hated sin so much he did something about it. He sent his little boy to go down there and die for us. That's how much he hated sin. Hey, so why can't we? Yeah, Raj.
Stop talking about all this persecution.
Yeah. I don't feel persecuted. I'm on the football field playing. I expect the other guys to tackle me. It ain't no shock to me. I don't get up and cry and whine. Oh, they're mean to me. We're in a war, man. They're shooting, I'm shooting. It's okay. I'm allowed to shoot back. Yeah, George. George, I heard you. You there?
Yeah, coach.
Come on in, George. We got 16 people, folks. We got room for 14 more. Baby. Come on and join the party. It's fun. Water's fine. Yeah, George.
Hey, Scripture tells us that God hates the workers of iniquity. And
it does say that.
And what iniquity is, iniquity, it's different than just the sin problem. It's really licensing sin. So what God really hates is those that make things like homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia legal, and that approve of those things.
That's right. And if we love the Lord, we will love the things that he loves, and we'll hate the things that he hates. Hey, just as a warning, Chad, my buddy down in Texas, sent out an email to a bunch of you down in Texas and Louisiana and that area down there. Listen, get back on that survey. Answer Chad. He's trying to put together a team down there. He and Glenn are working hard to put together a team. We need you guys out there. Come on. We got to stand up and push back against this stuff. We've been given a short window of a reprieve for whatever reason. And baby, we have got to take advantage of it. So listen, I ain't backing down. Ray, looks like you want to come in here, do you? Come on in, Ray.
You keep mentioning Chad. A lot of people probably are not familiar. Is that Chad Prather, the Texas Cowboy, talking about?
I'm not looking at the chat. Let me find it here, man. I'm so slow.
About the survey with Chad.
Oh, but yeah. What'd you say? Ask it again. I'm sorry.
Is that Chad Prather, the cowboy from Texas that puts out the videos?
No, that's Chad. Chad Estes, our man on the ground down there, and Chad comes a lot of our events. We've been down there several times with him. Chad's a good man, and he's the guy that's up and running the brigade down in Texas area.
A lot of people aren't familiar with that, Watson. I tried looking up Chad after you said that yesterday. I found Chad Prather, but
yeah,
wrong guy.
Chad, maybe Chad, he's probably listening. Yeah, he is listening right now. What's your YouTube page, Chad? Maybe you can send that to me, and I'll show people where they can see who you are.
Well, I just have Estes Ranch.
Estes Ranch. Estes. EstesRanch.com. EstesRanch.com on YouTube, and you can see some of the stuff that Chad's doing, and he's one of us, and he's a good dude. Okay. Here we go. Dang, they lie, don't they? Is it awesome what happened with CNN? And would anybody? I wish I was James O'Keefe. I said to my wife, "This guy. See, this is what investigative reporting is supposed to be all about. How did James O'Keefe? How did he get inside CNN like that? How did he do that?
He's a real reporter, brother.
He's a real reporter. And isn't it amazing that hit? I don't know. I'm sure you guys saw that where he talked to the producer at CNN, and the producer, they're out hanging out, whatever. Says, oh, yeah, it's all fake news, and it's all about ratings, and it's all about money, and, yeah, we know it's fake, and, yeah, there's no – and at the same time, these two guys, three guys have to resign at CNN. CNN is dead. I'm telling you, they are dead. They're dead. But, hey, guys, we're seeing victories everywhere we look. I got to tell you something. We are. So I'm excited about it. I'm sort of a political animal at heart. But I'm not a Republican Democrat kind of guy. I'm glad to see us smashing them. I'm glad to see them getting smashed with truth. That's what
it means. Thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. That's right. That's what Bill Federer was talking about last night. Boy, it was good stuff. Here's some good chat going on. Maybe some of you that are watching on CoachDaveLive.com. There's a good chat board there too. If you want to get in there and chat with others as you're listening to the show, we appreciate it. Sometimes I look down there and see a good comment and I bring it up. I got a couple lighthearted videos I want to show you today. Okay, real quickly, lighthearted videos, and then I'm going to try to end it on a little bit of a harsher note. I we were talking about last week missionaries, right? People, missionaries going to warm climates and taking the gospel to people that already have the gospel. And we've come in America to think if you're poor, you need Jesus, rather than understanding that Jesus said we ought to be poor, poor in spirit. Those of us who have a lot of stuff, we're more poor in spirit than the physically poor are. We've got so much stuff to lose that we don't want to engage in what's going on. And so fear traps us. See, the poor have nothing but Jesus. They're more pure in heart than we ever are. And so we like to do mission trips down to help the poor because we think that that's Christ-like. So I came across this video. Excuse me. It's called The Missionary Parody. And it's like he's been watching our show. I can't remember the guy's name. I'm sorry. He's a comedian. He makes these little videos, little parodies of the church. And he made this one on missionaries. And it's only about 3 minutes. But is this what we were talking about last week or not? Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Hi guys, Quinn and Kylie here. We are so excited to announce our next trip.
It's a mission trip.
Our next mission trip, we are going to serve humbly the scuba instructors here in Aruba.
We are so honored.
So honored. A lot of you guys have asked, why Aruba?
Yeah, we actually came here on our honeymoon.
Yeah, we were out on the pier having the sunset dinner. I was about to pick up the lobster and dip it in the butter. And we
so
just
good.
Looked at each other and we just felt like God had called us
for such a time as this. We've had so many God moments while being here.
You would not believe.
The cabana boys.
Oh, the golf caddy.
Yeah, the parasail guys.
I had a heart-to-heart conversation with the guy I rent the jet skis from.
Oh, babe, I want to hear about that.
So good. When moments like that, we just know that we're here for a purpose.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
We can relate to missionaries all over the world when we say it hasn't been without its share of persecution.
Yeah, like last week we were prepping to do this scuba dive, yes, and I was wearing my cross necklace like I always do.
Tell them what the instructor said to you.
And the instructor looked me dead in the eyes and said, ma'am, you need to take that necklace off.
Take it off.
And I said, I will not. I will stand for what I believe in.
Get behind me, Satan.
Right, but come to find out, the necklace actually would block the airflow of the mask, so I had to take it off.
It makes sense. He was helping you. But yeah, at the time, we did feel...
I felt attacked.
Persecuted. Honestly, I feel like a lot of what we're doing down here, babe, is planting seeds. Yeah. We haven't seen much harvest, but we know that the Lord is at work.
It's kind of like we're a living version of footprints in the sand.
Except two sets of footprints have turned into zero. That's where we laid down to
sunbathing. We're sunbathing, yeah. Like the other day, I was shopping for some supporter gifts for all of you.
So good.
I was looking at these keychains made by real orphans, and I was about to have a moment with the cashier lady.
With the cashier,
and
you were going to witness to her.
I was going to witness to her, but we had dinner reservations.
Yeah, it was not the right time. But God's timing. Wherever we go, in the shops, at the car dealership, we wear the WWJD bracelets.
I actually lost mine.
Anyway, we just want to ask that you would partner with us and invest with us here in Aruba long term.
Long term, but really for only 3 months, because after that it's rainy season and my hair gets frizzy, so.
Okay, yeah. We feel like maybe after the 3 months, God is maybe going to transition us out of Aruba.
Don't spoil it.
And we're going to be witnessing to the wine connoisseurs and vineyard owners of Tuscany.
But that's another video
that's
and another outfit.
Yeah,
I
totally
haven't even
different.
Finished my Pinterest board.
We need to be here and now. I talked with our accountant. All we need is $10,000 a month.
Basically what we're saying is that we want to ask you for prayer.
Well, pray that God would ask you to give us your money. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to give. We just ask, if you think about us in prayer after you've given, just ask that we would daily pick up our cross.
Yeah. Oh, room service.
You know what I'm saying? Just, it's
not. No, I said extra caviar. No, fix that. Where's the Prosecco? What am I supposed to drink?
Cut this part.
No, get out.
Oh, boy. Hey, there's some truth in that, isn't it? I mean, in order for something to be funny, there has to be truth in it. There has to be truth and humor. And listen, I'm not making fun of people who want to serve the Lord and go on mission trips. Please understand. But I want us to understand our focus is entirely wrong. It's entirely wrong. America is so lost. Oh, my goodness, America. The greatest mission field in the world is the American public schools. We've just given those over. So that was just kind of a parody of what I said last week. People go to mission trips like vacations in many, many cases. Anybody want to comment on that? Anybody, did I offend anybody?
Oh, sure.
Hey, listen, if I offended somebody, call my attorney, Roger, will you? He'll handle it. Don't send those emails to me. I don't.
Hey, I got this great little clip someone put up. Common Core. There was a little math. Tell me how to make 10 when adding 8 plus 5. And the kid responds, you cannot make 10 with 8 plus 5. And then they go through this arduous thing of making 10 and then adding the rest. If you're gonna do that, why not just learn how to add normally? I mean, the Common Core is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Well, you know why they do that though, Vince. The reason they do that is like anything else. See, mathematics is a law. There's a law, baby.
Right.
I mean, you ain't 2 plus 2 is 4. You ain't going to change it, the law of mathematics. But they have to question the law of mathematics. They have to show there's another way to do math than what we've all been taught. They want to break down every standard of, what would be the word? Every bond that holds us together, they have to break that down. And that's really what's going on with Common Core, new math, and all that kind of stuff. The devil is constantly at work, and we don't always pick up and understand what's going on. So in that same heart and in that same light, I want you to, I'm going somewhere today. Stay with me. Play that video, Jared. It's another short one. It just has music parody on it. And this is, remember, Chad, my friend Chad, who's listening right now, has a saying that he uses all the time. Your emotions will betray you. Your emotions will betray you. And unfortunately, church service for a lot of people has become just an emotional experience. And people talk about they were in praise and worship and all, they so felt the Spirit. I'm not making light of people feeling the Spirit. I want to know why you never feel the Spirit to go to the abortion clinic. Why do you never feel the Spirit to go to the homosexual parade? Why do you never feel the Spirit? Because, see, I do. When I'm there, I feel the Spirit. But I want you to show how they emotionalism has gripped our praise and worship music in our churches. Go ahead and play this one, Jared. I used this before, maybe a year ago, but I think it's worth watching again. This is praise and worship music focused on me. Go ahead.
I will sing of your love on Sundays. Only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays. Then this feeling is gone by Monday. I will give you little. I surrender.
I stand amazed at my hairdo. My stylist outdid herself. I lift my hands and see my.
How great is this song? Sing with me, how great is this song? Man, I love to sing.
Oh, yes.
Just to sing this song.
Savior, I don't need a savior. I'm busy living my life. Busy living my life.
Christmas, go to church on Christmas,
and maybe Easter too, so my faith is renewed.
I've sung this song for years. It's now a standard here. Just go through the motions.
Hallelujah.
Lift up your hands.
Amen.
Fake the emotion.
I exalt me.
Go ahead, give them an applause. They'll shut up, all right? Well, there you go, folks. That is it, man. You just change the words, and you got a whole different meaning to the song. Jared, pull up Ezekiel 33, okay? Ezekiel 33.
Hey, Coach, while we're waiting on that to come up,
yeah,
don't you think that if there was a really strong, truthful, however you want to say it, sermon or teaching on the part of the Bible where God talks about you're trapped by your words and what you know, making a vow to God is an important thing that is very, very, very serious, et cetera, et cetera. If there was a good, strong sermon on that, and then they played I Surrender All, how many people would really be singing it?
Oh, Larry. Well, it's funny you would say that because this is going to lead us right in here to Ezekiel, which is exactly the point I'm making. And Jared, let's go to 28. Although if you really want to do something, guys, take some time later on and read Ezekiel 33. Read the whole thing. I'm not going to do it now because there's a point here in Ezekiel 33 that I want to make. But it's constantly about warning the wicked and what's going to happen to the wicked and what's going to happen to us if we don't warn the wicked. It's all throughout. It is the theme of Ezekiel 33. But I want to jump right in here at 28. I want to show you. Here's what this is in a nutshell. Okay, this is it in a nutshell. Ezekiel 28. Let's go to 27. Let's go to 26. You stand upon your sword, you work abomination, and you defile every one his neighbor's wife. And shall you possess the land? God said, are you kidding me? Say thou thus unto them, the Lord says. Hey, tell them this for me, will you, Zeke? Thus says the Lord of God, as I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I gather to the beast to be devoured. And they that be in the forts and in the caves, they're going to die of pestilence, ones that are hiding. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of America shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know I'm in charge. I am the Lord. When I have laid the land most desolate because of all of their abominations, which they have also committed. Now listen, here's where I'm going to. Also, you, son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. So I say, come on, come in here to the church. Got to hear from the Lord. Got to hear from the Lord. 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well on an instrument. For they hear the words. Oh, they love the music. But they don't do anything to tell them. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it's going to come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. That's pretty powerful, isn't it, guys? Huh? They go and they hear the word and they get all emotional and they love their church and they don't do what the word says to do. Somebody jump in here real quick.
Just wow. That's right on target for the video clips you just showed.
It is something, isn't it, Ray? You know what's even more amazing, Ray? How the Lord puts these shows together in the morning.
Amen.
How he does this. Because it really is the truth, right? It really is the truth. And it's one of those things I learned from Bill Fetter, who I'll get on the show here at some point. I learned again this weekend that we're in the mess that we're in because the church is compromised. We're not in the mess because of the devil. We're in the mess that we're in because we've relinquished power and control, strength, right, and righteousness. We've relinquished it. Yeah, George.
I think the music video might have tainted the mega church I used to go to. I'm not sure.
Say that again, bud. You broke up. Oh, I get what you said. You said you think that was taped at your mega. You really think it was, George, or is that tongue in cheek?
No, that's tongue in cheek.
Okay.
It could have been.
It could have been any of them, right? Okay. So I want you to see this. Jared, bring up Christian narcissist. Huh? Hey, by the way, you know what I'm writing on this week? You know, I write a commentary every week. I think this week I'm writing on, are you ready? Cultural Alzheimer's. Cultural Alzheimer's. Americans have lost it. We've lost our mind. Cultural Alzheimer's. This is on the American Thinker today, and it says, narcissist revises Christianity and turns it liberal. By Robert Oscar Lopez. I'm going to try to, without reading this whole thing, I'm going to run down and try to make some good points on it here. It's on your screen, folks, if you can see right now. In book 3 of Ovid's Metamorphosis, narcissist pines away looking at his own reflection until he dies and turns into a flower. Many misread Ovid's character as someone conceited and self-absorbed. But in the Latin tale, he does not know that the beautiful boy he sees is himself until he's already descended into madness. Narcissists cannot love anyone but he suddenly falls in love with an unreachable beauty, a face in a pool, who causes him to experience the rejection and inconsolable yearning his own coldness has inflicted on others. His unattainable object of desire is actually, as he gradually realizes himself, oh, I am he. I know for sure the image is me. It's myself. I burn with love. I fan the flames. I feel my riches beggar me. Let's go on down, Jared. He's going to give us 7 steps, I think it is here, 7 things Christian narcissists, how it has grabbed a hold of the church. Bobby Lee, welcome, Bobby. First time I've seen you in there. Thanks for joining us. Okay, here we go, folks. These are some winsome charitable terms that we hear out in the world that just is not true. Where are you from, Bobby?
Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, bud. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm the guy that showed up in Pennsylvania at the...
I got you, man.
Yeah.
I got you. Welcome, man. Welcome. Okay, here we go. Here's 8 most common narcissistic lines we hear over and over in church, okay? Church folks, we hear this from. Jesus cared about the poor a lot more than he did about sin. Well, look, the Democrats have created a paradox for themselves by splicing greed from lust, reading financial selfishness as cruel, but sexual selfishness as benign. Few errors have imagined the concupiscence of earthly desire could be transformed from an evil into an objective good. Jesus emphasized that people who care about earthly pleasures will lose their eternal life. Jesus told us we'll have the poor always. Jesus says everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. Eternal damnation is a punishment of failing to help those in need, according to Matthew. But nowhere does Jesus say people must eradicate poverty entirely or focus on poverty to the exclusion of other forms of holiness. Jesus praised the woman who gave up all she owned in the temple, leaving herself destitute. He did not state that the temple should give her money back. He should give the money back to her because he said, you'll have the poor always. The text, listen to this. The text presents Judas Iscariot. Listen now. The great traitor, as the one disciple who griped so much about Jesus' refusal to make money available to the poor. Is that unbelievable? Remember Judas was complaining about that? That he was using, that she broke the alabaster and she let the ointment go down. And he said, that could have been given to the poor. And he says, isn't it ironic that the one who griped most about the poor was Judas Iscariot, the one who ended up betraying him. Second point, you have no right to tell people who's a real Christian. Hey, folks, listen. Jesus repeatedly warns against false prophets, blind fools, leading other blind people into the pits. Those who have authority and mislead others will receive harsher punishment. In John 8:31, he states, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. But that's followed by a harsh point. Because you cannot listen to my word, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. See, the Gospels demand corrective responses to lies. Jesus is firm when he rebukes Peter for being so misdirected, saying, get behind me, Satan, because you think not of godly concern, but of man's concern. So we have a right, not only a right, but a duty to point out to people who aren't really Christians, or judging the fruit and say, you certainly don't have the fruit of a Christian. 3, another lie they tell us. Out of love and kindness, you should respect my views of Christianity. Really? See, this is the liberalization of the gospel, social gospel, okay? Jesus said it was crucial to love others as we expected to be loved, but he also reminded people of the highest Mosaic law. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Turning the other cheek is not the same thing as sitting quietly while someone defiles God's name with false teachings. Let me say that again. Let me read that again for Right Wing Watch. I want to make sure they get this one. Turning the other cheek is not the same thing as sitting quietly while someone defiles God's name with false teachings. While Jesus was gentle, as we should be too, toward people who sin for lack of self-command, Jesus was not gentle with scribes, Pharisees, and false teachers, and I'm going to throw in there backslidden Christians. He wasn't gentle with them.
Amen.
Those who lead and teach others are not given clemency shown to the woman caught in adultery. or the promiscuous Samaritan at the well. The entire chapter of Matthew 23 is Jesus taking on these religious folks. Last line. Christians can be tender and amicable towards a man who has engaged in a lustful contact with men due to his insuppressible urges, but not to Rachel Held Evans when she tells her myriad Twitter followers that it's okay to be LGBT affirming. In other words, Rachel Held Evans is one of these Jesus loves everybody just as you are women. Number four, Christ was a rebel. As the LA Times report, LGBTs rallied against Trump. Churches sent pro-gay contingencies, including one lesbian who proclaimed Jesus resisted. Citing Jesus, he takes the streets and shouts for violent confrontation with the people who supported Trump. It's important to note that Barabbas was a rebel who fits the description of the deplorable, or the snowflakes, right? Like Barabbas, fits the description of angry street forces. It was Barabbas who was chosen by the doomed crowd that demanded that Jesus be sacrificed in Barabbas' place. Christ was a powerful presence, certainly daring to overturn the money tables and temple, but he was conspicuously avoiding behaving like the leader of a rebel movement. He gathered a small number of disciples, sent them out to win souls with the truth, and then submitted to his execution willingly. He was not Barabbas, and the crowd's inability to differentiate between the two was no small crime. You understand what they're saying? See, we're not about overthrowing things. We're about simply lifting up the truth and standing on the truth no matter what the consequences are. And then they like to tell us this in Surge, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. Oh, yeah? Jesus Christ gave us more than enough material so that we do not even need to consult Paul or the Old Testament to understand the problem with homosexuality. Jesus says in John 8:31 that his disciples are those who continue in his word. The Christian cannot skate by when feeling urges by scanning Jesus' words to see if anything he said forbade any such action, though there is much reason to discern that Jesus did forbid unchaste behavior. Rather, we can't do anything that Jesus in Scripture did not explicitly command us to do. In Mark 8:34, Jesus says, to be my follower, you have to deny your homosexuality, take up your cross, and follow after me. As we said before, I have the urge to be an adulterer, serial adulterer. Anybody else out there? I don't act on that urge. By the grace of God, I don't act at all. Nowhere in the Bible is there any positive reference to same-sex activity. Nowhere! Yet there are numerous vilifications of same-sex activity. Jesus doesn't tell us to engage in sex with the opposite sex. Jesus laid down a specific model for marriage in Matthew, referring back to Genesis. And then to those raising caveats, Jesus made it clear that if people cannot respect that model, they must live as eunuchs. That's in Matthew 19:12. They have no marriage or sexual relations at all. In addition, Jesus describes two sexual sins, adultery and sexual impurity, as defilement. Even if only spoken once. The other defilements are evil thoughts, murder, theft, slander, and blasphemy. Given the myriad references outside the four gospel labeling homosexuality defilement, abomination, unnatural, would you, if you felt same-sex desires, be willing to gamble your salvation on your pro-gay interpretation of Jesus? Now, six, seven. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I got some other stuff I want to get to. See, they lied to us. They have because, hey, Serge, because we don't know the word, they have taken us captive. They have changed the words. They have told us what the Bible says. And because we're so stinking biblically illiterate, we believe what they say, and we don't have an answer for it.
Amen.
The Scripture tells us to always have an answer. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you, see. And because of all of this socialization, liberalization, whatever word you want to, infiltration into the churches, we find ourselves in the mess that we're in today. Amen. So what are you saying, Coach? I'm saying this requires a strong, firm, unflinching response in the face of sin. Somebody try to jump in. It sounded like Joe's voice. Was it you, Joe? Or whoever that was tried to jump in?
I was just going to make a quick comment of what you just read. Jesus kind of strengthened the Old Testament with Moses when he said to look upon a woman is to commit adultery in your own heart, just to look upon a woman in lust. So how much more so are the homosexual movies?
And then how about this one? How about this one, Ray? I've heard people say, well, Jesus never said a thing about homosexuality. Well, really? Didn't help somebody help me out here. But didn't he say that it would be better for those in Sodom and Gomorrah than, I'm paraphrasing it, that what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah was a righteous punishment, and it would be better. What's coming is worse. Are you there, Michael? Do you know what I'm talking about? You muted yourself.
Do it again. I'm on there now. Go. Okay. Listen, this is something about, we don't understand the Gospels. Jesus did not preach the gospel. He preached the good news. But where did he,
kingdom.
What was his source of the scriptures? It was the Old Testament. It had not been written. The New Testament had not been written when Jesus walked the earth. These are all things that are written long after Jesus has returned to his Father. And we keep thinking that the gospels that we read now are what Jesus preached, but it was not. He took the scriptures, which is the Old Testament, and explained to them how to live it, and he walked it out and did it. That's what they're trying to show us through. If you read Matthew's gospel, you read especially Matthew and Luke, there are a lot of stuff that goes back to the Old Testament, and they're showing that Jesus walked it out. He did not preach something new, other than, I mean, his life was new.
Jared, Matthew 10. Amen, Michael. Bob, you want to say something?
Yeah, I started using harsher and more aggressive language. I mean, a while back, I started making the comment like Jesus Christ was a badass. And the 12 real men that followed him were no joke. I mean, basically, Peter was carrying the gun of the time, and he fired upon the Roman soldier that night. They come to get it. This whole idea that Jesus was a soft, lay-down type of individual. And aside from that, there's a civil war going on in these families right now. Homosexuality is run amok. I've basically been separated from my mother because she has allied with two homosexual men, and I've basically rebuked her and her sodomite church, what I call the New World Order church structure.
Wow.
So there's serious stuff going on in these families, and we're already in a family civil war.
We are, brother. We're already there, and it is at our door for sure. I want y'all to see this. Matthew chapter 15, chapter 10, verse 15. I want you to let's start right here. Jared, let's start 10 right there. Stay there. This is Matthew 10:10, okay? Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and thereby till you go hence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, wow, I'd preach. Let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor your words, when you leave that house or that city, kick the dust off of your feet. Watch this, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, do you think Jesus knew what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah? He didn't say, oh, man, he was way too mean to those folks. We were way too mean. He said, no. Now that you have the Holy Spirit and you have the unction of God living inside of you, let me tell you, baby, you ain't got any excuses now. And when you give into this stuff, it'd be better. You'll get worse than what Sodom and Gomorrah got. That's the way I read that scripture. Anybody think I'm misreading it, taking it out of context?
Hey,
George? You're breaking up, George.
Can you hear me now?
There you go, bud. There you go.
Hey, a piggyback on that. Yeah, you know, God met face to face with Moses on Mount Sinai. That was the pre-incarnate Jesus. So if God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, why would he be different in the New Testament than he was in the Old Testament? So, I mean, that just furthers your point with
the scripture you just. I change not, baby. I change not. That's right. That's right. Yep. Hey, guys, I'm up against the clock. Did somebody want to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, when Jesus kicked over the table, he didn't kick it over with a smile on his face. He was disgusted.
No, he sure didn't. He sure didn't, man. He was disgusted. He's disgusted. Okay, I want to finish with this. David Wilkerson. I love David Wilkerson. This is about a six-minute clip. I want you to listen to a prophet speak here. You know one thing about David Wilkerson? I think he's probably having more impact now that he's dead than when he was alive. Isn't that funny? Now, guys, look. This will have Spanish on the screen. Don't worry about the words. Reading the words, listen to the words. This is David Wilkerson saying that repent is heard but not heeded. Go ahead, Jared.
The word of God comes forth in its power and unction, it'll do one of two things. It'll either break you or harden you. It'll break you or harden you. An apostate church wants nothing to do with visions or prophecies of men of righteousness. They don't want anything to do with it. They want to hear messages. They want nothing that disturbs the status quo, nothing to upset this successful world in which they move and live. They refused any kind of correction. Why is it that people are flocking to prosperity preachers? Why is it when you preach prosperity, you can draw a crowd simply because it suits the lifestyles of those who gather? They flock to these teachers because they feel comfortable with them because of their world of materialism. They're in no mood to give up anything or to sacrifice or to hear about crosses or losses. They're into buying and acquiring, enjoying and climbing the social ladder. Folks, if that's all I was going to do, if I wanted to get rich and if I had all these things and I felt condemned, I'd go to a preacher going to set my mind at ease. But when you've got the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in your heart and Jesus Christ is the head, you can't go near it because the fire of the Holy Ghost will burn it out. Preachers don't know what to preach anymore. If they preach this, they offend this group. If they preach something else, they offend this group. Brother, forget what the people say and preach the holy word of God. An apostate church simply endures the prophetic voice. They pass it by with a condescending smile. I'm going to read to you. Listen to Ezekiel 33. Don't turn, but just listen to it. He said, they come to you as my people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they don't do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their own gain and their idols. And behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. And they hear your words, but they do not practice them. When the Spirit of God would come upon me, I'd begin to prophesy against the idolatry of television and rock music of devils in our churches. And I could feel the wrath of God against it. I'd go in the backyard and prophesy to the trees because I didn't think anyone would listen. I'd just raise my voice and prophesy. You've been bringing unclean offerings. You brought bruised and bleeding lambs to my table, and the tables of the Lord are filled with vomit. And I was prophesying and prostrate on the grass and feeling the wrath of God breathing down my neck against it all. And I'd get up and I'd bleed my heart out. And I can quote 100 scriptures against this kind of idolatry. And people come up and pat me on the back and say, good preaching, Brother Dave, I believe it, and go right back that very night and sit and watch filth. And it's kind of an amusing message. It's kind of a novel thing to hear someone prophesy now. What's it going to be for you, brother, sister? Is it going to be that you hear the prophetic word of the Lord come, and then you walk out and say it's a sweet, sensual song? And go right back and do the same very thing as if you were never delivered from your idolatry in the first place. I don't understand how anyone who loves God with all their heart, I don't understand anyone who knows that one day soon they're going to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see how you can sit before your idols anymore knowing that you stand before His holy eyes. But they don't do it. They're still going to go about their lustful desires. They love to hear it. They love to say, amen. but it doesn't affect them. Just a sensuous song. According to the prophecy of Isaiah, the apostate church of the last day is not going to accept this message of repentance, whether I preach it or any other man of God preaches it. It's not going to be accepted by the masses. It's going to be accepted only by a holy, separated view. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel has said, what? In repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing, and you said no. You're not willing. You said no. Oh, brother, sister, listen to me. The message of the Holy Ghost to this last day church is that in repentance and rest is your only hope. The only hope left for the church is to return to Him with all their heart and to get out of Egypt and the world. Try to tell that to the modern, huge, multi-million dollar television ministries today, that the only hope is repentance. Tell them that. Tell that to the money-mad crowds. Tell this sensuous, prosperous, self-induced, self-centered generation of Christians. Tell them that their only hope is in repentance. Tell them that. See how many listen.
Amen to that, huh? You shut that down, Jared. You shut that down. Brothers, that's what we're about here. I love people. I love them to death. But this, I know this. Soft coaches don't last very long. They don't last very long. Good guys. What was Leo DeRocher said? Good guys finish last. That's not always truth, but definition of what a good guy is. Guy speaks the truth uncompromisingly and boldly and is a strong witness and defender for Jesus. I want to do something here real quickly. We're a couple minutes over. I don't care. I just got an email. Checking my email here, and I just got an email from Eric. Eric, I want you to know that I'm reading your email. The hats, they should be here in a couple of days. We'll get them out. Let's pray right now for Eric. He knows what that situation is. Lord, you know the situation that Eric is in right now, Lord, and we just break that spirit of intimidation over him at work, through his boss, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen Eric, encourage him in his inner man, Lord, that you would raise him up as a champion for Christ, that he will stand and not bend, that he won't cower and he won't bow, Lord, that he'll be a strong witness for you, Father. We thank you that you're bringing him through this and that you will strengthen him and he'll stand victorious on the other end of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, fellas, I just felt led to pray there for Eric. We hear you, Eric. You're our brother from another mother, however they say, and honored to stand with you. Hey, folks, a little bit over today. It's in repentance. The church has got to repent. Don't ask for more blessings, huh? Let's ask for repentance. Let's ask God to forgive us. Let's fall on our face and ask him to come back in and sup with us.
You got it.